The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league? Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
We are on to week 15. If you're still in the playoffs, shout out to you. If you're not,
you are, but my bad.
I apologize. If you are not, that's okay. Keep hanging with us for all the fun and the nonsense. Fields Yates, Matthew Berry, and Mike Clay.
Was that some weird random shot? Like, I'm trying to find the Twitter link so that people actually
watch
this.
Wasn't random at all. He was directly pointing at you with his finger. It was very precise.
Pointing at you. Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
Mike laughed.
Was it funny? Yeah. Didn't just, feel like I didn't hear any precise. Laughter. I mean, I count five people.
He's intimate.
Not including me. I count five people that were actually watching that. As I look back, there's four people behind the glass. And of course, Mike's here. And so I didn't hear one laugh. Like, well, I feel like it was over
Mike
five.
Laughed. Just to be clear, he's intimating that you're not good at fantasy football. That's what happened there.
Got it. Understood.
Right. Just to be crystal clear.
Very clear.
Couple of things. First of all,
good.
Mike laughed. Second of all, in order for you to
did
hear
you,
anything.
Like, Mike, did you laugh?
He chuckled.
Did I?
You chuckled, yeah.
I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
I'm going to go back and watch the tape right here on this one. But my point was this.
Yeah,
in order
that?
To hear Daniel or Kyle or Keith or Damian, they have to press a button. And they weren't going to embarrass you on national podcast TV by laughing at your fantasy fortunes or lack thereof.
I don't know if I should laugh. Like, are you having a good year? Like, you still alive?
Yeah,
how you doing?
I'm still alive in a lot of playoffs, actually.
Oh,
I mean,
being
like.
Funny, relax.
So that's sensitive. A weird one. No, but I just like, all right, whatever.
Okay. Let's talk about some board bets that I won this week.
Okay.
What'd you win?
Well, I bet Mike Clay that David Johnson was not going to score. What did you have projected as? 19.5 points last week against my
something
Detroit
like that, yeah.
Lions. I actually felt so confident. I was like, you know what? Let's do 18
wow,
points.
Wow, bold. Really bold. One
and,
point.
Okay. And it was double or nothing for Stan Sox. And guess
ooh.
What? I
yeah.
took home the W.
So I did not, first of all, was the first bet even with you? Like we went double, you went double or nothing on a bet with someone else.
Don't try to weasel out of this one, Stefan.
No, no.
All right. You made
no,
a bet,
but
it stands. It is what it is.
He got a lot of volume. Johnson had like an insanely inefficient game. What do you have? Like
eight catches
for
12 yards.
So I feel
that's
good.
Insane.
That's like a good process, bad result. So whatever. You take your win. I'm okay with it.
I'll take my win. And while I wait for my Stance socks to come in the mail, I need you to give me yours, just to make sure that you don't try to get away with anything
you
shady.
You know what?
Here.
No, I actually
off.
Did not.
Take your socks off. Take
you
your socks
take
off
socks
and
off?
Give me your socks right
okay,
now.
Okay. I'll work on that.
All right.
I warm. They're free.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
That's weird. You mentioned that bet, but not the one that you lost. That's so weird.
Oh, that's weird.
Which one was that?
We did have an over-under touchdowns for Julio Jones set at 3 for this year. Julio,
that's awkward because, man, what does he have?
He had 3
now?
Coming into this game. He scored 2 more fluke touchdowns last week, so now he's at 5 for this season.
He's got 5 fluke touchdowns so far. There were not even 5 touchdowns in the game last night. There were some fluky touchdowns, though, last night between the Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings. The Seahawks win 21-7. For the Vikings, ugh, that was tough to watch. Like, what was going on right there? Matthew, you are a longtime Kirk Cousins viewer. You've seen a lot of Kirk Cousins in his day, having spent 5-6 years with the Washington Redskins. What like,
Kirk has. I've spent many.
You spent many more years than 6 with Washington. But
yeah.
Is he the problem? What's the problem right now in Minnesota? Is it Kirk Cousins? Is that simplifying matters too much?
I think it is. I think it is unfair to say it is all on Kirk Cousins. I mean, look, Kirk didn't play well in that particular game. He did not play well. Having said that, he doesn't have a ton of offensive line, and you know he wasn't getting a lot of help from his offensive line. Guys weren't separating. And by the way, give Seattle credit. You know, we sit here and we're like we're dumping on Seahawks have played really good defense this entire year, and especially last night. Like like, I think it's too simple to just say, oh, Kirk Cousins sucks, or Kirk Cousins isn't living up to the contract. The truth is that Kirk Cousins gets a unfair, I think, stigma or criticism because of his contract. Kirk Cousins is a very good NFL quarterback. Is he a great NFL quarterback? No. Is he the best quarterback in the NFL? No. Is he paid like it? Yes, because that's the current economics of the NFL, and it is very rare that a quarterback in his prime comes available on the free agent market. But that's my Redskins for you, who managed to screw that one up. So I think that if Kirk Cousins had a normal contract, or if you didn't know what the details of his contract were, you wouldn't be talking about this. He has not played well in prime time for his career. He's very Andy Dalton-esque in that way. And honestly, that's sort of what I think Kirk Cousins is. I think he's a slightly better version of Andy Dalton. And by the way, I don't mean that as an insult. Just forgetting fantasy for a second, Andy Dalton's a good NFL quarterback. Is he a great NFL quarterback? No. But he's a B. You know what I mean? Like, he's a B-level quarterback, and that's what I think Kirk Cousins is. I think Kirk Cousins is kind of a B-plus, where he has struggled in primetime games. But I don't think it is unfair to – I think it is unfair to put this loss entirely on Kirk Cousins. New teammates, new offense coordinator, bad offensive line. Like, there's going to be some adjustment periods.
Yeah.
Especially for a quarterback, honestly, who, you know, is a B.
Oh, I'm with you. I think he's a slightly above average
quarterback. Right, a B plus, right?
That's what I'm saying. He did have some bizarre decision-making we'll call it last night.
He had a bad game.
The play calling
also. That.
Yeah, some suspect play calling too at times, you know, running against heavy boxes on third and one, but then the box is light and you throw the ball. And how many times did they call that play where you roll to the right and throw the ball away on third down? Like, it was crazy. But I will say this about the Seattle defense. They actually came in last night fifth worst in yards per play against, but as Pete Carroll said earlier in the week, their team is designed not to lose. That's why they run the ball, because they're weak on personnel. They know that. They lost a ton in the offseason. That's how they built this team, to not lose, run the ball, keep it close, and then let Russell Wilson win the game. That has worked for them this season. It did again last season, and it kept the Vikings offense off the field.
So let's spin back to the Vikings for a second, too.
I don't have stats to back this up, but anecdotally, it seems to me as if the Seahawks defense plays better at home, and they play better in primetime games. That crowd gets into it. It's a great home crowd. It's a tough place to play. Yeah. So I do think that plays into it somewhat. And again, it's anecdotal. I'm sure there's stats that can back that up. But
that's a tough place to play.
Here are the points allowed so far this year at home. It's pretty good. 13, 33, which against the Rams. 3 against the Raiders. That was good. 25, but against the Chargers. That's, you know, not terrible. Packers, they win 27-24. They beat the 49ers by, you know, they allow 16 points, 7 points. So, yeah, they have been quite good at home.
A lot of close games, too, this year.
And they do, Matthew, to your point, they do play Kansas City in week 16.
I can't wait
on
for that
national
one. That's
TV.
That's going to be a good test.
That will be a lot of fun. So we'll see how that defense performs. But back to Kirk Cousins and what it means for this Vikings offense, because Adam Thielen opened up the season with, like, I think it was 8 straight games of 100-plus receiving yards. Has not been quite the same level of production since. Last night he goes for 5 for 70 on 7 targets. He didn't have a catch until, like, the third quarter of last night's game. It was weird. Is something, like, do we have to recalibrate our expectations for Thielen and Stephon Diggs now, as we enter the most critical weeks of the fantasy season?
Not significantly. I mean, he's been outside the top 20 4 of his past 5 after being top 10 9 of his first 10, but he hasn't finished a week this season worse than 27th. So what, you start him. I mean, there's no question. He's not even like a candidate to have a bust week. So no matter what, you lock him in your lineup. We know that. Is he a candidate to be number 1 in our rankings on a weekly basis? I don't necessarily think I would go that far now. Probably down a few pegs with his target share down a little bit, but the guy is still a fantastic player. They've had a tough schedule as of late, some tough road games as well. And he's a good matchup this week. They're back home. They play Miami. He'll get Bobby McCain in the slot. That's going to be the best matchup among the wide receivers. So I think he's in position for a nice week here in week 15.
I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, so I'm writing the love list right now for week 14. Kirk Cousins makes the love list at home against Miami. I think, you know, we'll see if Xavier Howard plays. My expectation is, as we sit on a Tuesday morning, that he won't, which I think helps that helps the matchup as well for Cousins. But back home against Miami, I think Cousins puts up a big game. And it's interesting, sort of like, as we'll go through the week, and this will be my last show, obviously, until Friday under the new schedule. But it feels like there's just sort of a lot of guys that are in that range, Field and Mike, where quarterbacks that are coming off a poor week this week, that when you get into week 15, you don't feel great about starting them based on recent production, but you may not have a better choice. And Cousins and Wilson are both in that camp, as are Drew Brees and Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, there were a lot of like sort of big name guys that disappointed last week that I think you're going to have to be back in on in week 15, or even Tom Brady, who had a good right. game, but who's been brutal prior to that.
You've
for a while.
You've got Dak and Brady on one side of the ledger, right? You know, Brady and Dak have not been as great so far mm-hmm. this season. They have great week 14s. Then you got players, like you mentioned, who are not, even Aaron Rodgers to a degree, right? You know, like, he's fine, but not amazing.
Right. And now this week he's at Chicago, yeah. which you don't mm-hmm. feel good about
don't
at
like
all.
That one whatsoever.
Right. So
you mentioned Russell Wilson. By the way, Dalvin Cook scored a late touchdown that probably won people or lost people mm. a lot of fantasy football playoff
yeah,
matches.
I know
our friend Kevin
Agandi
was on the
yeah.
wrong side of that one. poor Kevin on that regard.
That's by the way, and that is the worst. By the way, and I love Kevin Agandi, but, and I felt so bad for him. He texted that to me in addition yeah. to putting it out on Twitter. And I felt so bad for him because listen, when you sit there, and we've all been there, you got a game on the line, and you're up by a little on Monday night, and you're sitting there, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're thinking, maybe I can get through this, maybe I can get through this, and then at the very last play, on some baloney, like, junk time, game's over, score, like, it's one thing if Dalvin Cook had rushed for an 80-yard touchdown, like, on the third play, and then you're like, well, all right, well, it is what it is. But poor Kevin was, he was up for all but two, until about 2 minutes left in the game.
I have to confess. I cannot wind down. Like, I need to turn the TV either off or away from sports in order to fall asleep at night. When the Seahawks picked sixth, Minnesota, or it was a fumble.
On the kickoff. Like, they're like, whatever. Is
when,
that what you're
Justin
talking
Coleman,
about?
No, when Justin Coleman scored, it was yeah, a fumble yeah, yeah. that he recovered.
Right.
And he picked it up and scooped and scored. It's 21-0, 2:45 left in the game. I said, you know, I'm done. I was in a matchup, and I'm in a league with Keith, and it was like the ugliest matchup ever. Kirk Cousins was my starting quarterback. He had Russell Wilson. Weird scoring system, et cetera. But anyways, RDP league, that Kirk Cousins touchdown catapulted me into the next round. I woke up this morning. Keith had texted me and I was like, wait, what? I won? It's like I flipped the TV on to like, you know, holiday baking championship for the last 2:45 of Monday Night Football because I wasn't going to be able to fall asleep otherwise.
Susie wins, by the way. There,
oh,
I
Susie
wrote it
wins?
For you.
Oh, dang it. I had Marsha the entire time.
Yeah.
Any event, Russell Wilson, as we just mentioned, not a great night for him.
By the way, I can't shut off Monday Night Football until after Bad Beats.
Bad Beats is
Scott
amazing.
Bad Beats is amazing. I love it Monday night, so it stays on until that's over.
Russell Wilson had just 72 passing yards last night. We thought the Vikings offense was ugly. The Seahawks, at least in the passing game, was gross. Russell Wilson, though, in a great spot this upcoming week against San Francisco. This was finally, like, I feel like the numbers finally aligned, Mike. Like, everything what Russell Wilson was doing so far this year was not sustainable, and then it finally caught up to him last night.
Yeah, hopefully he wasn't in your lineup. I mean, he's been better lately, but as we've talked about all season, the ceiling isn't there. Occasionally, he has, like, 1 or 2 weeks where he's been inside the top eight. Otherwise, he's been, like, 9th, 12th, 13th, 17th. Early in the season, he was outside the top 20 quite a bit. So he's been a strong quarterback too, I guess you could give him. Last night he bailed you out because of his rushing yardage, but that's what he is going forward.
But that's a generous use of bailing out here, right? I mean, 9 yeah. points in total for Russell Wilson on 61 rushing yards and an absolute YOLO interception at the end of the first half where...
But that's sort of fluky, right? I mean, like, you would expect... Like, I thought Wilson would play better. Like, you would think that Wilson would score in that scenario, right? The rushing isn't surprising. The 72 yards passing, that is, yes, he has been down in terms of his, in terms of the volume, but you didn't expect under 100 yards
no
passing.
Question.
Yeah. Especially at home where he traditionally plays better. And the Vikings defense has shown some leaks of late. I mean, it's a good defense, but it hasn't. I mean, he played very well last night.
And that's the risk you take in a super low volume pass offense. And he has not been delivering the rushing yards like this season. This was his best game. He had really that long run. That was really the difference maker. That probably won some people some fantasy matchups this week, that long run down the sideline.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, this is the risk you take when you start a guy that is in the run heaviest offense in the league by far.
Yeah. Under 250 passing yards in 11 of the last 12 for Russell Wilson.
Brutal.
But
that's
next
crazy.
Week he's at San Francisco.
And the schedule, he plays two games at home. So it's like, I'm kind of in, you know?
Right. You know, and it'll be interesting to sort of see what happens because against the 49ers, that's a game where you expect, like, especially with their defense and a backup quarter facing a backup quarterback in Nick Mullins, like, you figure, like, do they get up big? Do they just, like, is it a big Chris Carson? Is it a big Rashad Penny game? You know,
be a trap. Last night, yeah.
Be a trap too on the road, division rival. San Francisco's been
right
better with
they're
Mullins.
Hot, those frisky Nick Mullins.
Yeah. And plus, Seattle basically clinched the 5 seed. I mean, they're going to need to really fall apart to lose the 5 seed. You know, they could get a little comfortable.
In this season, you can't get comfortable at all in the NFL. The Redskins are still in the mix. The Eagles are still in the mix. Mm-hmm.
I can assure you, the Redskins are no longer in the mix.
You know what?
I understand mathematically they are, but
actually,
I assure you they're not.
I tweeted this last night. If the team with the higher winning percentage wins out with teams tied, it goes to the home team. Washington's the 6 seed. So interesting.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
The schedule's not impossible.
I understand.
Beat the Jags.
I understand. But like, they should have beat the Giants. Like, I don't want them to go to the playoffs. Like, as a Redskins fan, I hope they lose out. I want them to finish 6-10, get a better draft pick. They've got to start over. They're not going anywhere in the playoffs with that offensive line and Josh Johnson under center. They're just not. So it's like, to squeeze in the playoffs at 8-8 or something like that as a 6 seed or whatever, like only to get our butts kicked. Like, who wants that? Like, for me,
wow.
I'm just being realistic. Like, you're not the Redskins as currently constructed, given all the injuries they've had. There's literally no way they go to the Super Bowl.
Disrespect for the first ever draft selection in the AAF draft.
Listen, Josh Johnson came out and he was a gamer. He was better than Mark Sanchez, but it just, I'm just being realistic.
There was somebody who tweeted at me, and I think several other people, like many times over, a lineup, a screenshot of how they started Josh Johnson in their lineup this past week, because this person thought it would be funny if they started a lineup that was only made up of players with the last name Johnson. They're like, hey, I started Josh Johnson. I'm a genius. And it's like, yeah, you also started, like, you know, David Johnson and Duke Johnson and every other Johnson that's currently
Andre Johnson,
if he's
in the database. Right.
Yeah, he's
Calvin Johnson.
But yeah, Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson. Got you a lot of points in that matchup there. So the Seahawks win. They are probably a very good bet for the 5th seed in the NFC, but a weird game.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to just bring up here is that I thought Rashad Penny looked like, you know, here in week 14, what Mike Clay said he would look like in the preseason.
It's about time, Mike.
You know, nice job.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when he was a bust. I mean, right? He was a little overweight. He got hurt and was overweight in the preseason. He's a bust throwing the towel. 5.1 yards per carry this season, a little better than average after contact. I love that kid. You know what else I love? Quick, while we're in the newsy section of this podcast, Boston Scott signed off the Saints practice squad to the Eagles roster. Me and Howie Roseman on the same page here.
Yeah,
Josh Adams, now Boston Scott.
Well, Corey Clement got pretty banged up there. So you would assume that signing a Boston Scott is sort of an indication that they're nervous about Corey Clement's availability for Sunday.
Howie listens to the podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know that to be true. Yeah, he must, right?
He must listen to our
Howie's not
going to
deny it.
Right.
Who's going to ask Howie if it's true or not? But what I was going to, the reason I bring that up is just as people head into waivers tonight, I think Rashad, I believe if something were to happen to Chris Carson, which, by the way, based on his history over the last 2 years, is certainly within reason, right? He came into this game with a finger injury as well. I think it would be Penny over Davis, just from the eye test. I mean, Davis might be involved some in passing downs, but Penny looks like by far the superior back, and I think he's got the confidence of the coaching staff. So I think he, especially given how run-heavy this team is, and as Mike is saying, like they've clinched a play, or they haven't clinched, but looks fairly certain in terms of what their postseason will look like. So you could see Rashad Penny having a significant role down the stretch for a variety of reasons. If you have Chris Carson on your team, I think you need to make sure you have Rashad Penny today. He's out there in a ton of leagues.
Yeah, they're going to lock down that 5 spot soon, and then they'll probably rest some guys down the stretch here. And I don't know
because they're one of those teams that's so young ahead of schedule that they might be like, listen, we have seen teams over the past couple of years lose their mojo. The Rams last season resting those guys in week 17 kind of seemed to catch up to them against the Falcons in the playoffs. I think there's a chance they play all the way through.
I'm with you on that as a general team philosophy, but could I see them resting Chris Carson, who's been banged up and down throughout this year? 100%. I could see them still starting Russell Wilson, still starting a lot of theirs, but Doug Baldwin, take a seat. Hey, Chris Carson, some of their other guys that have been, you know, nicked up throughout the year. I could certainly see them, taking a seat.
Yeah, probably week 17 after the Chiefs game. They'll play out that Chiefs game after that.
Yes.
Let's get now to some news, and we begin in Kansas City.
Before we do that, though, Field, why don't we let Matthew talk to us about maybe he wanted to buy tickets to go see a game somewhere.
You know something, Daniel? That's a great idea. Matthew,
right?
Would you do that for us, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I assume what you're talking about, Daniel Dopp, in a very, very sly segue way.
Subtle.
Is you would like me to tell everyone about SeatGeek. My friends there.
Yeah, that was it.
Because I'll be honest. you sit there and you see Daniel Dopp, right? You see there with the,
I see
with,
him.
With the
bushy
with,
beard,
with the bushy beard,
yep,
and the wide eyes and the confused look when we ask him to push a button,
right?
And you're like, that's a guy that can't buy tickets on his own. And then you're like, well, what happens when Mrs. Squirrel is busy? Well, the fact of the matter is, Daniel, getting tickets online can be far too complicated. Don't blame yourself, right? There's hundreds of sites, varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know who to trust. You look at Mike Clay and his beady eyes. Like, you can't trust him.
Can't trust
absolutely
that guy.
Not. Can't trust that guy. Yeah, Keith Lipscomb. He'll tuck whatever tickets you have and sell them for Browns gear.
Keith opened up his coat and was like, hey, you want to buy some Browns tickets?
I'm saying. Right. So the fact of the matter is, it's hard to know in this crazy world who to trust, especially online. Which is why SeatGeek, of course, is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. Right? Some of those ticket sites just try to gouge you here, but there's nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek is going to get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Every purchase fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And what they do is, here's what they do. They search multiple ticket sites. They grade every ticket based on value. And as a result, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. So you know what you can afford. They're going to search all these ticket sites. They don't have tickets themselves. They look at everyone else that has tickets. They know where the people, they know the good ones, they know the bad ones, and they tell you, hey, this is a good deal, this is a bad deal. It's very simple to use on the app. And the one thing that I really like about it is they have the seat finder. So you're just like, section 432, seat C, is that good? Is that bad? I don't know. Do they have 8 levels or 3? Am I in the nosebleeds or I'm in the middle? You don't know. And then what you do is you go there and you sort of pinch and you sort of look, and it'll give you sort of like a bird's eye view. That'll give you this is what it will look like from your seat. It's actually a very cool feature. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, as I've told you guys on this podcast many, many times. Here's the best part. Listeners of this podcast, you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do. Just download the SeatGeek app. Come on, you got hundreds of apps on your phone. What's one more? So many apps. One more. Just download the SeatGeek app and you enter the promo code FFF. Again, that is promo code FFF and you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Remember, SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
All right, now we get to some news, and our biggest news all surrounds the game involving the Chiefs and the Chargers. Here's the good news. Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs wide receiver, is expected to play on Thursday Night Football. Both he and Spencer Ware missed practice. And I say air quotes because on these short weeks, teams aren't really practicing.
You don't really say air quotes, but for those of you not watching on the Twitter show, he actually did the air quotes.
When you use air quotes, which is I just used, it's because they didn't really practice on Monday. It's a projection more than anything else, or a walkthrough at most oftentimes, especially when it's week 15 of the NFL season.
Oh, but yeah.
Adam Schefter reported last night that Tyreek Hill should be good to go on Thursday. That's good news. And not to oversimplify things, but like if he's playing, you're playing him, albeit in a difficult matchup against the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, you always write the wide receiver cornerback matchups column on ESPN.com. It's part of ESPN Plus. Yes. It's a great column. It's a must-have. It's one of the many reasons to subscribe to ESPN Plus, including the fantasy show. But, Mike, do you project Casey Hayward to try to keep up with Tyreek Hill?
Nope.
How do you see this?
The Chargers shadow a lot with Casey Hayward. They've never shadowed Tyreek Hill. And I don't expect that to change this week. And by the way,
hasn't worked.
Doesn't matter.
It won't work because they move him around the formation a lot. And yeah, I was going to say, Hill's numbers playing the Chargers this year,
yeah.
162 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus a return touchdown last season at 77 yards and a touchdown in one game and 88 yards and a touchdown in the other one. 5 touchdowns in 3 games against the Chargers. They're not going to shadow him.
He scored in every game but one. He's been unbelievable against the LA Chargers, has Tyreek Hill. Yeah, 7 for, 169 all the way back in week 1. So Tyreek Hill should be good to go. He will be ranked inside the top 10, as he most often is.
And it's good news. It's good with Sammy Watkins unlikely to play in this one as well. It's good news for Patrick Mahomes. Not that you were ever going to bench Mahomes, but if you were looking at a game without Hill, without Watkins, against the Chargers, in a week 15 playoff, you might feel like, you would lower expectations for Mahomes.
With Kelvin Benjamin getting like 8 targets, that would worry you a little bit.
Kelvin Benjamin's going to get resurrected. We're all going to be like,
oh, definitely.
What? Kelvin Benjamin?
I am so not a Kelvin Benjamin fan.
I'm
with you. Look, Patrick Mahomes is straight magic. So, anything's possible.
But yeah, Benjamin's going to like plot in from the fullback position for a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Something like tackle that. Eligible
oh
play.
My God. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's move along here to the other news in this game. Justin Jackson of the Los Angeles Chargers might be the starting running back on Thursday night. I'm going to read the latest, and this comes from Steve Weich, who's our friend of ours from NFL Network. He's a great job. He's West Coast-based. And he just tweeted this at 10:59. The Chargers are not optimistic that running backs Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler will be ready for Thursday's huge AFC West matchup against Kansas City. Head coach Anthony Lynn told me. Pretty good source right there.
I've heard of both those people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rookie running back Justin Jackson and Trez Newsome are likely to be the spot, which would be the next two men up. People are familiar with Justin Jackson, the seventh-round rookie, out of Northwestern. Newsome, Western Carolina, good athlete, but again, that's about all we can say about it. We really haven't seen him play so much. If both of these guys miss, like, are we talking about Justin Jackson as a top 15 play this week? Certainly, and we'll get into the waiver wire column, but has to be the preeminent ad of the week.
I mean, the number one must ad of the week, even if you don't need a running back, even if you won't play him, just to keep him away from your opponent. He absolutely is a 100% must add, needs to be 100% roster. He's available in about 57% of ESPN leagues. And so, first off, you can run on the Chiefs, right? 25th against the run over the last 4 weeks. So there's that. And we always talk about this. What's the two most important things in fantasy success? Talent and opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Justin Jackson, in the small sample we have, we think there's something talented there. And opportunity is abundant. Remember, since week 8, Chargers running backs getting the second most yards per carry before first contact. That offensive line starting to play well. And like last 3 weeks, there's actually some big playability there. Again, all this is small sample size, but last 3 weeks, Justin Jackson has had 25 touches. Six of them. Of the 25 touches, six of them have gained 17 or more yards. By comparison, Austin Eckler only has 2 of 50. So, I mean, there's some big play there, and some of that's holes and some of that's scheming. But the fact of the matter is that in the small sample that we've seen him, Mike, Justin Jackson is impressed.
Yeah, no question about it. 5.2 yards per carry against small sample, but he's caught all 5 of his targets. He's been effective so far. And, you know, sometimes there are teams or offenses or backfields where you're like, this is a great fantasy backfield. The Chiefs being a great example of that. And the Saints, another one. If, say, Ingram went down, we're always, and all offseason when he was suspended, we were talking about who's going to be that number two. We're always attracted to that. Well, the Chargers are one of them. They are second in running back fantasy points this season, only 7 behind the Saints. I mean, that's how great that backfield has been, whether it's Eckler or Gordon or Jackson mixing in. So this is a great spot. There's no question he can push for upward of 15 to 17 touches, maybe more if the game's close. Now, the only reservation I'd have is it could be a very pass-heavy game for the Chargers, especially if they're behind in this game. And maybe they don't throw to the running backs a lot in this one either. I mean, that's really the only red flag, is that it could end up being a shootout and a lot of the targets will go to the
wide receivers. Honestly, like, to me, I think I would be, as somebody who might start Justin Jackson in a couple leagues, like, I'll be able to get him I have him in my Vampire League and I have him in one other league. So I haven't looked at my lineups yet, so I may be starting him this week. I would be excited about a shootout, because then I think there's a chance they fall in the end zone.
Sure, like, no
again,
question,
like,
no question.
And even you mentioned he's caught all 5 of his passes. So here's a guy that I think will be back there, you know, in the backfield. And so whether there's dump offs from Phillip Rivers and just being on the field in a game where there's going to be a lot of scoring, mm-hmm. you know, I think would be beneficial to Justin Jackson. Again, thinking about how you attack the Chiefs, running the ball against them is one of them. The more you run the ball, the less time Patrick Mahomes has on the field. Thirsty Kyle throws up on the screen that in his final collegiate season, Justin Jackson caught 44 passes. So that's within his skill set as well as a pass catcher.
Yeah, man, a ton of volume that final season of college. I think he had over 300 carries too, just a crazy workhorse role. But I'm with you. I will have him top 15. There's no question he's a fringe RB1. I'm just saying it could be a little different from a normal game script for the Chargers.
And that, of course, and he's not Melvin Gordon, but like, to find a guy in the waiver wire that could be a top 15 play
at this point of the season.
At this point of the season,
no question.
Thank you.
More, of course, we'll have more information on whether there's some sort of definitive out, questionable, doubtful tag for both Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler tomorrow, and then of course on Thursday at that game. We cannot wait for that one. Really hope it's a competitive one. I understand the Chiefs. They would be my pick, and I'm not trying to spoil Pigskin picking, but I'd like that game to at least be competitive. We're gonna take a quick break. We come back and talk about some other waiver wire ads.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
And now a quick moment with our ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
Hey, this is Josh Buck, the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. and you're listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Now back to the show.
Good stuff there. We always appreciate our ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week live reads. Let's get into the waiver wires. Matthew, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Yeah, now Field Yates, of course, writes the Working the Wire column for ESPN.com. Yeah. The Week 15 edition is already up, available on ESPN.com and in the ESPN app. I'm a company man. And so want to ask you, Field Yates, to work the wire. As we just talked about, we just talked for, 5 minutes about Justin Jackson. He's the clear-cut number one. If he's available in your league, that's the guy you're picking up. Even if you don't need a running back, you need to keep him from your opponent. So he's the number one. But assuming he's gone, let's talk about some quarterbacks and tight ends. And we start at the tight end position. Maybe you lost Greg Olsen and you don't love who you picked up last week. Maybe you lost Jordan Reed. This week he's not going to play. So who's out there, Field?
Yeah, Ian Thomas of the Carolina Panthers feels like a legit part of their offense. And he had 11 targets this past week, 9 catches for 77 yards. For those who aren't familiar with him, I don't blame you. He played at Indiana, but was a late college football bloomer. Excellent athlete, just didn't have a lot of tape for college or for pro teams to evaluate. And when Greg Olsen has been out, he has stayed busy. Now, the Saints have been one of the best teams in terms of limiting opposing tight ends in fantasy this year.
Yep.
All that being said, guys, we're talking about a position that has 5 to 6 trustable quantities. Thomas, to me, would be just as likely to produce as some of the much bigger names like Kyle Rudolph, Evan Ingram. Mm-hmm. All those guys, like, I don't have any discernible difference between them and Ian Thomas right now.
Caught 14 of 16 targets over the last 2 weeks. You know, a lot of stuff close to the line of scrimmage as well. And you think about Cam Shoulder, not 100%.
Yeah.
Looks like they're trying to get a lot of underneath stuff, which would bode well for Thomas.
Yeah, you look back at the past 4 games in which Greg Olsen has been out or left the game injured. Thomas has 5+ targets in all of those games. He played almost every snap in this game. And he may be the future there. This may be Olsen's last season with the team. He may be their every down tight end next year, so they're going to take a long look at him. I'm sure they'll throw it plenty. And I know David Newton, who covers the Panthers for us earlier this season, when Olsen was hurt the first time around, said, you know, keep an eye on him. I think he's going to be a big part of the passing game, so a lot to like here.
Let's say somebody grabbed Ian Thomas because you also recommended him last week. Worth noting there as well. Obviously, turned out well because he had the nice game against the Browns last week. So if somebody missed out on Thomas, is there another tight end that, again, if you're sort of scrounging the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, I think Vernon Davis, of course, the Redskins. Now, the mitigating factors are obvious, right? The Redskins are down to their 4th-string quarterback in Josh Johnson. They face a very good, despite what they showed last Thursday night. And I'm sorry that the Jaguars quit last Thursday night, or at least did not show the effort. Remember, we had a big discussion on the podcast about whether they should be a top-ranked defense. Mike, score one for you, but my goodness gracious, I should walk it back and not say quit, because that's way too strong of a word to over-accuse a team of, but where was the effort last week from the Jaguars? That was pitiful and terrible. But Vernon Davis, you know, he's still a thing. He's still athletic enough to make a difference, and with Jordan Reed now doubtful, maybe even for the rest of the season, Vernon Davis is the next man up, and Josh Dotson's in the concussion protocol. Someone's got to catch passes for Washington. Vernon Davis would be a deeper desperation play tight end.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
No question. He was tight end 11 in the 9 games Jordan Reed missed last season. So he's a fringe starter. He only had 2 touchdowns. Obviously, the quarterback situation, a lot worse than it was last season, going from Kirk Cousins to Josh Johnson. Presumably, he's not going to keep that offense moving like he did in trash time against the Giants. But again, if you're desperate, and you have a problem there, he's an option.
Jaguars allow touchdowns to opposing tight ends at the 5th highest rate this season, which makes sense when you just think about it. You don't want to attack Ramsey or Bouye. Sure. You know, so it's just, where do you try to move the ball against the Jaguars? It's the middle of the field. It's trying to match up against linebackers. And so with no Jordan Reed, you expect a lot of heavy snaps for Davis in passing situations there. So, yes, if you are desperate, Vernon Davis. Now, we just talked about so many quarterback situations field where you don't feel great about the guy and it's sort of a little iffy. So if you're looking for a streamer, you don't love the matchup of your particular quarterback, who's out there?
Yeah, running back Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. Notice
fullback.
Slip of the tongue there. Josh Allen has got 335 rushing yards over the past 3 weeks on 31 attempts. So I haven't watched every single Bill snap, but I can tell you with confidence that it's not the same type of rushing production as Lamar Jackson. These are not designed runs that you're seeing from Josh Allen with the same regularity that you see them from Lamar Jackson. He's completing 50% of his passes. He's got, I think, it's like very few passing touchdowns over the past 3 weeks.
Three and four
interceptions. He's got
5 touchdown passes on 227 attempts this year.
So the very low overall production, and yet he keeps producing with his legs. Over his past 3 weeks, here's his rushing output for fantasy. 16.1, 13.5, 15.9 points. So say what you will about the throwing, and I know it's not designed, but if you feel super lucky and you feel like there's a chance that this can keep up, and you are super nervous about your quarterback elsewhere, then maybe you roll the Josh Allen dice.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting matchup, though, because you look back at the – you just kind of touched on it, right? 73 points over the past 3 weeks, 45 and a half of it has been with his
legs. The last 3 weeks, he's the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Right, right. But check out this matchup. They play the Lions this week, right? They've allowed 34 carries, 62 yards, and one touchdown to quarterbacks on the ground this season. And you might say, well, maybe their schedule's been easy. Here's some of the quarterbacks they've faced. Mitch Trubisky, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, and even Kirk Cousins, who at times can add some value, especially touchdowns with his legs. They've allowed 62 yards and one touchdown. Cam did nothing against them on the ground. I mean, there could be something there. I mean, the Lions do not let quarterbacks scramble against them.
Listen, the Lions and the Lions defensively have played a lot better since they got Snacks Harrison just against the run. Having said that, the season's over for this team. The whole team's broken. They're going to Buffalo in December, right? I mean, do we really think the Lions are showing up in Buffalo in December? I mean, I'm sure they'll have a lot of practices outside. Patricia in a short.
They will show up. Like, they will show up, but they will not.
They'll get credit for attendance.
Yes, exactly.
Like, they'll, right, when we do roll call.
I'll tell you what, right now the Detroit Lions have had a big youth movement the last game or two where they've been sitting some of their normal veterans to be able to get some of these younger guys some reps because they know they're looking ahead to next year. So as a part of that, though, we haven't, like Mike was saying, we haven't let a lot of quarterbacks run against us. But Josh Allen is a really, he's a really good mobile quarterback.
This is what I will say about Josh Allen. The floor is incredibly low. Like, we talk boom bust, we talk risk reward. Absolutely. It is there. But would it shock anyone if Josh Allen puts up a top 10 performance against the Lions this week? It shouldn't.
Do I read it the other way though? Maybe is the floor, feels like maybe the floor is higher. I don't know. Because of the running. Like,
you risk him being shut down as a rusher. And if that happens, you're in deep trouble. You might get 3 fantasy
anyway,
points.
Right. I think the big takeaway here, and again, I don't want to say this every single week for the last 3, but it's week 15. You're in the playoffs. You're probably like, Justin Jackson's a very rare exception. Like most of these players are merely for those who play in really deep leagues. Or someone who's in a pinch, 2 quarterback leagues.
You've been sort of mixing and matching and that kind of stuff. Just, Thirsty Kyle throws up a stat here. Just, I'm going to throw this out to you. Lions allowing the 5th most yards per completion this season. Allen actually ranks 3rd in that category over the past 3 weeks. I mean, we have seen whether it's Foster, whether it's Zay Jones, we've seen some production. It's been inconsistent. I mean, literally he is completing about 52% of his passes. It's not going to be pretty. But I will say, it is fun to watch.
It is. The Josh Allen experience is worth the ride.
It is absolutely fun. And I have to say that, listen, long way to go for Buffalo, but I think if I was a Bills fan, I would be encouraged because I think he got a quarterback. I think he's unrefined. I think there's lots of work still to be done, but I also think he doesn't have a lot around him. I think.
That's true.
I think I would feel optimistic if I was a Bills fan.
I'm excited about a lot with that team. I'm still on the pessimistic side of Allen. We have to see consistency as a thrower. You can't complete 45% of your passes over a season and have a successful football team.
Total Yater right there, Mike.
Total Yater. He needs an offensive line. He needs some pass catchers. He needs consistent pass catchers. I mean, where the hell's Robert Foster been? I mean, like it's different guys every week. I mean, hey, Charles Clay, take a step forward and catch a stupid touchdown pass.
Isaiah McKenzie, you're playing full time now.
That's why there should be optimism.
That's what I'm saying.
The personnel around him is not good.
The personnel around him is brutal, and he's still, by hook or by crook, you know, keeping them competitive. And so, if I were a fan of any of the teams that spent a first round pick on a rookie quarterback this year, I would be cautiously optimistic. I mean, Lamar Jackson has ways to go as a passer as well, but I think there's something there. And I think there's something there with Darnold. You know, I think there's, you know, we'll see.
There's something there with Josh Rosen. I actually like Josh Rosen myself.
Yeah.
Daniel.
And I think Baker Mayfield's a stud.
Yeah. Oh, he looks awesome.
Total stud. Daniel, please tell us about Subaru.
Yeah, you bet, Field. Okay. During the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru and its retailers have shown just how far the love can go. Over 100 national parks supported through the National Park Foundation. More than 50,000 animals rescued through the ASPCA. Nearly 2 million meals delivered through Meals on Wheels. More than 1,800 wishes granted through Make-A-Wish. More than 1,170 hometown charities supported. That's $140 million donated to charity by Subaru and its retailers over 11 years. Right now, when you get a new Subaru during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to the charity of your choice. When we share love, we all win. The Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. And Matthew, Exploring the Waiver Wire is brought to you by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. And let's say you already put in a waiver claim for Justin Jackson at running back, but you're not sure if you're going to get him or not. Is there another running back that you want to make sure you get a claim put in on?
I'll take Good it from question. Here, Daniel. Great question. And shout out to Subaru. That's a really neat thing they're doing.
Field writes
the
waiver.com.
No, you're right.
So we ask
Field.
You do that every week, I feel like.
The waiver columns.
Again, we the same thing we just said.
It's so the answer to you, the answer, Daniel, is what I would do is I would go to ESPN.com or I'd open my fantasy app.
ESPN.com. http://www.espn.com/fantasy.
Right. So I do that. And then I scroll till I find free agent finds by Field Yates. Then I start scrolling.
I click
and I see what names he's recommended.
And then I scroll down. Okay.
Yeah. One more name that I would consider would be Damian Williams, who actually played one more snap than Spencer Ware last week, in part because Spencer Ware got hurt. And we're all of a sudden at the point where he's one injury to Spencer Ware away from being the starting running back and the topic of conversation in the same way that we're talking about Justin Jackson in a really good offense that's super fantasy friendly. And he had 2 touchdowns last week. Those aren't likely to sustain. He's a good pass-catching running back. He's been productive when given the chances both in Miami and now in Kansas City.
Yep.
Just, again, keep this. Like, this is the kind of move you should make it at this time of the year. You're probably not going to play him on Thursday night unless Spencer Ware doesn't play in this game for some reason because he was banged up on Sunday. But keep in mind, like, you should be rostering the backup running back to your team.
The fantasy playoffs are all about roster construction for the next couple of weeks. And so you should be looking at every player because all those roster spots are valuable. And you should be looking at every single roster spot. Is there ever a chance I'm playing this guy? And so, like, for example, like a week or two ago, I was looking at my roster in one playoff league, and I've had Traquan Smith in this league forever. And I'm like, well, I've been hanging on because I like Traquan Smith and part of the Saints offense, and they got a good schedule. I'm just like, you know what, actually, I already got Michael Thomas. Like, and I had Cortland Sutton, I had DJ Moore, I have somebody else that's, you know, like a good number two or something like that. And so, like, maybe I'd like Doug Baldwin. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm never playing Traquan Smith. Like all these guys that would have to be injured. And I'm just like, so he's my fifth wide receiver. I would rather get rid of my fifth wide receiver who has a very small chance of ever playing for me and pick up a backup. Handcuff all of you, as we talked about with Rashad Penny earlier.
Yep.
Damian Williams, if you have Spencer Ware.
Well,
we've talked about this. John Kelly, if you have Todd Gurley. I prefer Kelly to Davis.
By the way, it may not be likely, but the Chiefs could clinch the first seed in the playoffs this week.
Mm-hmm.
They win, the Patriots and Texans lose, it's theirs.
It's
done.
Actually just Patriots.
Just oh, just Patriots. That's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Texans can't catch them if they win.
Oh, okay, that's right, because the head-to-head or something like that. But in any event, the Chiefs.
And Patriots on the road at Pittsburgh. Steelers team desperately needs to win.
So you would have a scenario where you could have the Chiefs resting players like Spencer Ware. One more running back, and I feel almost silly mentioning it, but Theo Riddick has been on this
call. And I also feel like, by the way, and I'm sorry, hey, Thirsty Kyle, you can look this up. But I feel like Andy, there are certain coaches that rest players that always rest players, and there are certain coaches that are always like, we're playing through. And I feel like Andy Reid is one of those guys that rests players.
Well, we know last year, Patrick Mahomes made his first ever career start in week 17 of the NFL season.
Would you suggest then to pick up like Trent Green or Joe Montana in case they sit Patrick Mahomes?
That'd be Chad Henne, right?
Chad Henne would be the next man up.
You know what's great? I just want to take a moment to acknowledge this. I didn't think it was possible. But your Joe Montana, Trent Green joke right there, and I use joke in air quotes.
We learned how to use air quotes earlier in the podcast.
I'm using Fields air quotes here. I didn't think it was possible for you to tell a worse joke than your hamstring recall joke, and yet you managed to do that.
Don't challenge me, buddy.
Seriously, dude. That was like...
It was good. Trent Green, Joe Montana.
It makes no sense at
Chiefs
all.
Chiefs quarterbacks?
Because it's like, first off, In the moment of a joke, not to get too theoretical on you, but honestly, part of comedy is recognition, right? And so no one thinks of Joe Montana as a Chiefs quarterback. But let's start there, okay? No one thinks of Joe Montana as a Chiefs quarterback.
I know he played two years there, but whatever.
He's literally
I actually could take you to task on that. Here's the only reason why I could say that is I used to work for the Chiefs, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And we used to do training camp in River Falls, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The most quaint, nicest people in the world town. and there was this one pizza joint that everybody was like, oh, you got to go to it.
Yeah.
And you go into this pizza joint, and it was like, oh, Joe Montana, former Chiefs quarterback, because he came there as a member of the Chiefs. So it's like plastered all over the walls. Right, it's like the hollowed grounds of this pizza joint. Fair. You know, I'm like,
there's
oh
a small
God.
Town in Wisconsin where that joke killed.
Exactly, yeah.
But otherwise, whatever. And Trent Green, and like, why don't you do Elvis Gerback? Like, at least that's a funny name.
It is.
Like, if you're going to go with the Chiefs quarterback, like, that joke was awful. Can I get any support here?
No, I'm with you.
Thank you, Mike Clay.
Wow, thanks, Mike Clay.
That was weak.
Not cool, Keith.
That was weak. Actually, there's
a nice beard, Daniel.
There's a tweet here from Bill Kenny.
Okay.
What does Bill say? Former Chiefs quarterback. And he says, why not me?
Fair.
Wow.
Fair.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks,
so
Bill.
And thanks for watching.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, seriously.
How many other Chiefs quarterbacks can you name for me in 30 seconds?
Right.
You're going now.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Mayfield.
Matthew.
No. Len Dawson.
Go.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, just me. Oh, I thought we were all
no,
two.
No,
start,
you
start
got 30
over.
Seconds.
Start
no.
over. Start,
no, no,
start over. I thought it was unclear.
All right, go.
Len Dawson, Elvis Gerback, Trent Green, Rich Gannon, let's see, God, what, huh?
Stop.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Steve Bono. Steve Bono, there you go.
Hi, this is a
that.
Competition, what are you doing?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, it was a competition?
Yeah.
Oh,
you've got six, you've still got 10 more seconds.
10 more, I don't know, yeah, and Joe Montana, he counts as well. I don't know. Who else?
I think I win. I think that means I win this joke.
Because you got two?
Because I got two in an undetermined amount of time, and Matthew only got eight in 30 seconds.
All right. Well,
Steve DeBerg has just tweeted. Steve DeBerg just tweeted as well and is also upset.
You guys are forgetting some great ones here. Matt Gutierrez, Brody Croyle, Matt Castle.
Matt Castle.
Oh, Matt Castle, yeah.
Obviously, we had Aaron Murray. We had Kevin Hogan. Five right there of recent memory.
Preseason Hall of Famers.
You're right. I'll tell you what, Matthew. The names I mentioned, Trent Green and Joe Montana, way worse than those other guys the field just mentioned.
Look, the whole joke was brutal and flawed and not particularly funny. But I do think that if you have to go with that joke, Trent Green or Alex Smith, people that are more aligned with the Chiefs would be better. Len Dawson.
Sure. You know, I don't know anything about the Chiefs. Trent Green, I just took a shot on Joe Montana. You know? I mean, what do you want me to say?
Anyway, he was a chief.
Technically, he was a chief.
And the other thing about Joe Montana is if he were playing right now or even in his prime, he will be backing up Patrick Mahomes. That's how sweet Patrick Mahomes is. All right, that's a little
Amazing.
Bit too bold. That's a little bit too bold right there. Yeah, Joe Montana's.
You think rest of career, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, it's close. PPR league or
who
no?
Who do you want?
I like when people ask me quarterback. Cam or
Matt
Ryan.
Yeah, it is PPR.
Field Yates,
yes.
Just
PPR.
Tweet that out. Field Yates says Patrick Mahomes better than Joe Montana in this prime.
Deal.
I said Joe Montana. Remember that from Waterboy? Yeah. Anyways, let's do a couple of wide receivers here because there are some important names at wideout. Deshaun Hamilton for the Denver Broncos, one of two players that had seven catches for Denver, and he was the full-time player for Denver on Sunday. He played 69 snaps, most amongst wide receivers, caught a touchdown. I think it was 7 of 9 targets for Deshaun Hamilton, fourth-round rookie out of Penn State, big slot presence.
Yeah.
And that's the important part
is just because we've seen Keenum throughout the year, obviously it was with Emmanuel Sanders, but have success with the slot, whether it was Adam Thielen last year, Sanders this year, and you think about their schedule, Cleveland this week at Oakland, then the Chargers in Week 17, who are very good against the slot but might be resting some players. So it's a nice little schedule here for Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, no question. You only got 47 yards out of the 7 catches, but that's okay. He scored a touchdown. He really did slide into that Emmanuel Sanders role inside, and as you just mentioned, he's going to be featured in that area. It wasn't just this area where he just got a big boost of targets on the outside. He's literally in that Sanders role in the slot. So you like that. And keep an eye on, I don't know if you were going to mention Tim Patrick too. Played a big role there, 7 for 85. And
10 targets for Tim Patrick.
Yeah, 10 targets was tops on the team. But I think the question really is, what's the priority order here? Right?
I think Tim Patrick sold me my loan, I think, for my house.
That was Timothy Patrick.
Is that Timothy Patrick?
He goes by Timothy, yeah.
Yeah. I think Tim Patrick actually is my kid's college counselor.
I think he fixed my computer up at the Bunsen and Beakers lab we have here.
Right.
Tim Patrick?
Tim Patrick. Yeah, I think I literally think
Dan's
he...
Dan's nephew. That's all. Dan's nephew. We all know this.
That was Patrick Thomas,
yeah.
Not Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
Tim Patrick. Anyways, a couple more here. Dante Pettis for the 49ers.
I feel like Tim Patrick is my CPA, actually. I think he prepared my taxes this year. I think that's what Tim Patrick is. I have to do
the rare cutoff there. What's the priority order here?
Oh, what's the priority order?
I still would say Sutton 1, Hamilton 2, Patrick 3. In terms of you know, if you're Sutton's way banged up,
it's close. Yeah, I mean, because of the waiver wire percentage, Sutton did not qualify. So I had Hamilton 1 and then Patrick 2.
Well, I'm just, yeah.
In general, how would I rank them?
Yeah. I'm still starting Sutton first.
Yeah, I think I'd be Sutton, Hamilton.
Honestly, Patrick. For me, it would depend on what I needed in terms of my roster. I think Sutton is more boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
no question.
Like, if I need 8 points, just give me somebody that'll get me 8 points, I would feel better about Hamilton, who will catch, you know, more passes. They'll take some shots with Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm nervous about the fact that, like, it just, you know, last week should have been a big week for Courtland Sutton, and it wasn't.
It was not. He got banged up as well.
But
in
I agree
game.
With you. Just in a vacuum, if I have to rank them, Sutton's obviously still number one.
Let's continue on with a couple of other wide receivers of note. Dante Pettis for the 49ers, who has 7+ targets and a touchdown in 3 straight games. Marquise Goodwin came back last week, but the 49ers are in a full-on youth movement. I think it was Matt Maiocco who I saw the piece on that basically alluded to anybody who was in their 30s was not playing for the 49ers on Sunday. And you figure that will not be...
Why are you looking at me?
I was looking at Mike. Hmm. Yeah. I'm in my 30s. I would play for the 49ers. But they are on a youth movement right now. So you figure that Dante Pettis will continue to be a focal point of this offense and certainly has some upside, as he's shown over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's number 6 in fantasy points at receiver the past 3 weeks, 7+ targets in all those games. A little fortunate in the touchdown department, but four touchdowns on his last 12 catches. Not going to sustain that. Obviously, even though he's been performing as a top 10 wide receiver, I don't think he'll continue that going forward. So I'll rank him as a wide receiver 3 going forward. I think that's where he belongs. And Pierre Garçon on IR too. So
yes, he will be soon. That's correct. And Curtis Samuel is my last wide receiver to note. Not a youth movement per se in Carolina, but Devin Funchess is no longer a thing anymore. Funchess had 0 catches on Sunday. Curtis Samuel has 4 straight games with at least 12 points, but more importantly, 19 targets over the past 2 games. He had like 25 for the rest of the season coming into that game.
Again, as we sort of talk about Cam Newton and just how that offense has started to look, it's the underneath stuff.
Yeah.
Just like he's not throwing deep. When he is throwing deep, he's not anywhere near being accurate. I mean, even for Cam.
Yeah.
And so...
he struggled significantly.
You know, and so if you're Norv Turner and you're trying to figure out how do I move the ball here given what I have to work with and Cam's not at 100%, what do you want to do? You want to... You know, try to find open, you know, get guys in space and use DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, who are both so great after the catch, try to scheme them open and let them run.
Yeah, and they're looking forward to a little bit here. Devin Funchess is a free agent now. He's 4th in line in pass routes. So this wasn't a situation where, like usually, he played a lot of snaps but didn't see much volume. He was way behind the other 3. Jarius Wright, even. He was well behind him in terms of snaps. So if you have Funchess and you need that roster spot, maybe you want to go after Justin Jackson, for example, you can go ahead and cut Funchess.
Reliability matters at this time of the year in the NFL. Let's do a little bit of something we call Back That Up.
He's a brainiac. He's Mike Clay.
We begin.
Before we get there, I think we should note this. So, Thirsty Kyle, just amusing himself back there. So, at his current pace in 2018, Patrick Mahomes will pass Joe Montana in career fantasy points after 101 starts, basically 6.5 seasons. If Patrick Mahomes keeps up the current pace in 2018, he would end up with more career fantasy points than Joe Montana in 6.5 seasons. What he is doing, he's helping backing you up, Field Yates, with your claim that Mahomes is better than Joe Montana in his prime.
6.5
Put it on
years.
The board.
Now, obviously, the offenses and the game is very different.
Right? Yeah.
Very, you got to account for inflation. Yes, well put there, Field. But, I mean, it's just, you know.
Let's go to back that up. Mike, your opportunity to back up some projections. We've accounted
where
for
are
one
on, where are you on? Is Joe Montana still the greatest quarterback of all time?
No, Tom Brady is.
I would
Tom
agree.
Brady is the greatest and most accomplished quarterback of
I would
all
agree.
Time. Yep.
Yeah.
But Joe Montana is number 2.
As Bum Phillips say, he's not first in class or whatever, but when you call roll, it doesn't take long to get his name. I butchered that. It's a quote.
I get the idea.
Like, he's not the only one in the class, but it doesn't take long to call the roll. Something like that.
I'm not sure. Trent Green told me the quote out in the hallway, and it was way better and more fluent. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Probably. But here's the thing. I'm not sitting here. Here's the difference between you. I'm like, I did that, and I'm like, I butchered that, and I know I don't have it right, and I know it's not great. Like, I'm owning it. Right? You tell like, seriously, like a bomb of a joke, and you know what you do? You're like, thank you. You're like, you're welcome, America.
I don't say that.
No, but that's
America
your attitude.
Comes
you have this whole attitude.
To let me know how great it is. What do you want me to say? This hamstring joke has lived for the entire season. Hey, I did not choose that.
No, you're just like, it chose itself. You're welcome.
Like you just like, you have this attitude of like, yes, I have just bestowed upon you this great comedy nugget. You're welcome, America. And we're just all sitting back here on this side of the desk going like, what just happened there? Where's Tarika?
Greatness. So, greatness just happened there, Matthew.
I don't know. Anyway, the Thirsty Kyle found the quote, I don't know if he's in a class by himself, but I knew that when class gets together, it sure don't take long to call the roll. That's Bum Phillips about Earl Campbell. So
that was classic.
Yeah, one of the classics. Miss Bum. One of the
love you,
great, yeah, love you, Blue. One of the all time great coaches and characters.
Great characters in the NFL history. That much is his son Wade, also a great character as well. So, Mike, let's get to back that up. Drew Brees, your first one here at Carolina, 18.6 points. He's been quiet over the past 2 weeks, Michael.
And on the road.
Yeah, he comes in low in this one. And you're exactly right. He struggled as of late. Exactly one passing touchdown each of his past two games. You look at his past three fantasy finishes, 13th, 30th, and 18th. And by the way, he's been very boom-bust this season. He's been 13th or worse in five of his past eight games. You're in the second run-heaviest team in the NFL here. You look at how they call plays near the goal line. 40% of their offensive touchdowns have been runs. That's eighth highest in the league. So, yeah, Carolina's been poor against quarterbacks this season, but they've actually only allowed six passing touchdowns during their past four. Schedule a little lighter, but nonetheless, I think quarterbacks deep. We talk about this all the time. It's very easy to move a guy from like fifth to 17th based on matchup just because there's so many similar players. And Breeze, just the way that offense has been operating, not a great. Not an elite quarterback as he was right out of the gate this
season. Talked about this yesterday with Matthew. We are going to have people that are going to be debating whether to even start Drew Brees in this matchup on Monday night. Derrick Henry, Mike, you got to start him, right? He scored four touchdowns last week.
No, absolutely not. Not much changes. I know. It's crazy talk, but you can't look too hard into what he did. And there's a few reasons for that. He was on the field for 40% of their snaps in that game. He's at 36% this season prior to this huge game. He had no more than 65 scrimmage yards in a single game this season. He's still a timeshare back. It's still a low scoring offense. He's still very touchdown dependent flex option. So I think the only thing that can get you kind of excited here is the matchup. You look at the Giants' six most fantasy points to running backs over the past 8 weeks. So that gets him into my top 30, but he's not a lock to start by any means. Not much has changed here.
One thing I'll say here is that I think there's more than just the matchup here. If you want to use him sort of as a flex play, right? Which is that prior to the crazy week 14, he had scored in five of his previous six games. So you say, well, he's a touchdown dependent flex play. Well, he is scoring touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with you. Look, there are lots of signs and causes of concern, even in his crazy game against the Jaguars where he scored more fantasy points than any running back all season long. Deion Lewis still outsnapped him in that game, 35-23. Like, the guy was as hot as any running back in the NFL, and still they were playing Deion Lewis more than Derrick Henry last week. So there is cause for concern. I agree with you. It's a good matchup here. He's a touchdown-dependent flex. Having said that, five of the six games prior to last week's four-touchdown explosion.
All right.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
You know what? I got this breaking news on my Fantasy Life app.
Well done there. This is a really bizarre circumstance.
45 seconds ago.
So John DeFilippo has been fired as the Vikings offensive coordinator, according to the NFL Network. I was in the hotel that I stayed at here in Bristol this morning, and I was talking with Chris Mortensen, and I just said aloud, I said, Mort, I kind of wonder if the Vikings are going to fire John DeFilippo after what we saw last night.
Right.
And we sort of talked about it, we talked about how bad of a year it's been, and couple of hours later, he is now fired by the Minnesota Vikings. This is probably one of those stories we'll get into more throughout the week. I don't know if there's like the fantasy implications here. Well, Mike Zimmer was apparently frustrated with the lack of running game that the Vikings have had so far. So I guess my initial instinct is, hey, maybe Dalvin runs more. Yeah. That being said, I don't know. I think part of the reason why there maybe was some, I don't know if the obvious step into a new coordinator spot is for Minnesota. I don't know who that would be. But
bring back Norv. Oh, he can't. He's in Carolina. I will say, I wonder if, just whatever, I'm just connecting some dots here. I wonder if DeFilippo goes back to Philadelphia. Because there's been some talk about the missing him and missing Frank Reich, and that offense hasn't been.
Don't think so, but I will just say this. John DeFilippo is regarded for, in
yes,
some people's
is.
Book is like, the top coaching candidate this offseason. I'm not saying this is my own personal. I'm just saying some people's list starts with John DeFilippo. Doesn't really do much to help your cause here if you're getting fired after in your first season with Minnesota calling the plays.
Yeah, no question. I think it was just the process they had an issue with. Mike Zimmer wants to follow kind of the style I think of a team like Seattle that's running the football a ton. He wants to go that direction. And Minnesota's been one of the pass-heaviest offenses in the NFL this season. So he got control of the offense. He threw it a ton, and it hasn't worked as of late. Again, the schedule's been tough. Cousins was fine in the first 2 months of the season. I mean, they were scoring points, but obviously a different in the way the culture of that team.
You wonder if they make this move also to give whoever it is that's going to take this job kind of a soft landing spot. I mean, you think about this over the last 4 weeks. Dolphins are 18th against the run. They're 30th against the pass. They're a bottom 10 scoring defense. And the game obviously will be in Minnesota on the turf. So, I mean, in fairness to John, like, you just paid $84 million for a quarterback. Yep. You want me to hand him off?
I know.
Like, I mean, like, I know, like, what are you doing? Anyway, so, worth noting, I got that alert like 2 minutes ago on the Fantasy Life app. It is 100% free. Go to fantasylifeapp.com. We crush it on the alerts. There's a reason there's 4.8 stars in the app store. It's 100% free app, fantasylifeapp.com or wherever you get apps.
All right. Amari Cooper's our next one up here. Mike, you had an amazing week last week. How high do you climb on Amari Cooper?
I have him wide receiver 14 at the moment. I certainly think he's a fringe. He's right in that range, right? A fringe top 10 guy. He's been awesome so far. Wide receiver 2 in fantasy since he joined the Cowboys. 9th in OFP. So the opportunity has been a little lower. He's been over his head to an extent. And that's what's going to happen when you have those long touchdowns. Not sustainable to get a bunch of them over a long term. Nonetheless, wide receiver 26 or better in 5 of his 6 games with the Cowboys, averaging 8.8 targets per game. Is there a reason to be a little concerned in this matchup? Yeah, the Colts have been a lot better against wide receivers. 6th fewest fantasy points to receivers on the season. In fact, the last wide receiver unit to finish a week better than 17th was all the way back in week 5. Now, the schedule has not been super tough, but I mean, you have Cooper and Dallas, and then it's not the scariest wide receiver unit, even though I like Michael Gallup. But nonetheless, they have slowed opposing wide receivers, and Cooper's next on the docket.
Mark Cooper was unbelievable last week against the Eagles. He looks to keep it up this Sunday against the Colts. Last one here, Mike. It's Thursday night again. It's Travis Kelce. And although it looks like Tyreek Hill is going to play, he is banged up. We don't think we're going to have Sammy Watkins. Matthew joked he's going to set the record for tight end targets. But maybe, just maybe, it could happen on Thursday.
It may. I mean, especially after last week, they went after him a ton. He was heavily targeted earlier.
Well, especially I mean, we know Tyreek Hill is going to play, but we don't know how healthy he is.
Right.
Could he be out there as a decoy? You know, no, I mean, like, hey, we're just going to send you on some routes, and we're actually going to just, you know, try to keep it underneath.
Yeah, he might draw a little Desmond King, but I wouldn't be too worried about that. I mean, he's still a superstar, heavily targeted in this offense, 9.4 targets per game this season. Think about what Zach Ertz is doing. He's going to set the record for catches by a tight end, and Kelce has more fantasy points than him. He's been tremendous as well. Kelce has double-digit targets in 6 games this season. His 27% target share is a career high, and he's finished 5 of the past 6 weeks as a top 3 fantasy tight end, and 4 of them were first place finishes. So, you know, Chargers have been decent against tight ends, but I'm not worried. I mean, Kelce, what can you say? The guy is a dominant presence in that offense.
So he has 4 different games this year with at least 28.5 fantasy points. Okay, 4 different games at least 28.5 fantasy points. Every other tight end in the NFL, if you combine all of them, also have 4 games with 28.5 fantasy points.
Like that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable kind of the kind of season that Travis Kelce has had, part of that amazing Chiefs offense. You project him for 19.5 points. It's interesting. Somebody tweeted at me, and, you know, because the way I do love hate now is I basically take projections and I take the over to the under. I say this is somebody, my loves are people that I think exceed the projections. My hates are people that I think fall under. And it's the person tweeted me, he says, I basically read love hate every week as Matthew Berry versus Mike Clay,
yeah.
which is sort of true. It's sort of like, you know, it's unfair because I get to sort of cherry pick who I like, and you're projecting every single player. But it is a fun process, and I will tell this as just a compliment to you, Mike. It is hard every week. I enjoy doing it that way because I think it makes more clear for the reader, and it allows me to talk about, frankly, bigger name players, mm-hmm. because then I can talk about, I can say, like, even the, like Travis Kelce, I could take the over, right? Everyone's starting Travis Kelce, but it helps for daily, and it makes it a wider ranging column. But it's tough because I'd be like, that's about right. You do a really
good
job.
The Vegas lines, like Vegas, you know how hard it is to pick against the spread. That's essentially what projections are. They're basically your line.
Yeah. And, you do a really nice job with them because every week it is a challenge to find where I think are flaws is a strong word, but where I think there are areas for arbitrage or whatever, where I think, hey, I think there's a chance this guy goes over. I think there's a chance where this guy goes under. And Kyle will vouch for me here.
like how many times, because we self-grade ourselves. We don't publish them or whatever, but we always self-grade ourselves. And I can't tell you how many times it's like where I got one wrong because I took the under and it was like 15.9 and he ended up at 16.1.
Yeah, Mike, you're better than Vegas. Like us against you is like us against the spread. It's hit or miss by like a point every
it's
freaking
every
time.
It's like half a point. It's 1 point. It's 1.2. It's like, it's razor thin every single
week.
But
Twitter only remembers the big misses. They only remember the 200 yard games. Like, how did you have
Derrick Henry?
Why did you have Derrick Henry? Right.
Forever.
That can only say the Jaguars are going to be the 12th best defense when they really finished as like, I don't know, like the 28th best defense.
Oh my God. Pathetic. No, I think they ended up scoring like some like, wasn't like 6 points.
Was it? All I know is whatever his saying the Jaguars are going to be 12th is just like, just. Bad. Astronomically
pathetic.
Wrong.
Bad show.
Sorry, man. Oh, wait, that's another
Jaguars.
Did Mike Kafka ever play quarterback for the Chiefs?
He did. Yeah. He now works for them.
I know he now works for them. And oh. I know he was a quarterback with the Eagles under Andy.
I
don't know if
Reed
he ever played
there.
Quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know if he took a snap. I'm not sure, but I think he was on that roster.
He was on the roster as a quarterback at one
Terrell
point.
Terrell Pryor
in the
was there for a minute. You count that one as a quarterback
sure.
or not?
Anyway, Mike Kafka. Mike Kafka would have been a good reference.
There you have it. More Chiefs quarterbacks talk coming on Wednesday. We have a lot going on. Matthew will be back on Friday. Mike back with us tomorrow. We've got the latest on injury updates, plus rankings chatter, and so much more. Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app. Mike Clay, NFL, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Field Yates. What do you got, Matthew?
Fantasy show on ESPN Plus later today, and FantasyLife.com. Go check it out. If you need some holiday shopping, promo code MB10 gets you 10% off. Check it out. Tumblers, and also get yourself a Secret Squirrel shirt.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace out.
In the 06010, never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
You think you could do better than me? Because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.